You're listening to the Wildcat Sports Report post-game podcast, segment two. Once again, I'd like to thank you for listening. I'm Brad Ellis of WildcatSportsReport.com of the 24/7 Sports Network. Check out WildcatSportsReport.com for all your Wildcat football, basketball, and recruiting needs. As we've said in some prior podcasts, if it's your first time listening, we are offering our premium membership free until the end of the football season. Sure, you have to, you know, add your credit card. You have to sign up, but you get it free until the end of the season. And then if you don't like it, and we think you will like it, just cancel before your card can be billed. And all the details are there. Go to www.wildcatsportsreport.com. And also like to thank our other sponsors, unbreakablegear.com. Unbreakable gear for the unbreakable athlete. Bruce Hiley, your American Family Insurance agent. And Wildcat Tax and Accounting. You know, we were talking about the Arizona passing woes and things that I'd at least like to see them implement, the short passing game, things to get a rhythm. Because eventually, though, you're going to need to go downfield. And I think the big disappointment right now is the inability of some of the veteran players to get open. For Wharton and Miller and Jackson to combine for just four catches is not good enough. David Richards was out there a little bit. He's been injured and he was a non-factor. I think they threw his way one or two times. A bright spot for Arizona was, again, the running game. It wasn't fantastic, only averaging about 4 yards a carry. That does take into an account a 12-yard loss on a bad snap on a punt. But Kadeem Carey was good. Carey carried 30 times for 132 yards and a touchdown and one relay fought. But the problem was he really didn't break much. 13 yards was his longest carry. He never got the ability to wear down the Washington defense. And people do forget after such a spectacular end to a season, but early in the year, he was what I call kind of a get-his-rhythm-back, a workhorse back, where those early gains are 2, 3, 4 yards. But by the time he gets into the fourth quarter, by the time he gets in the late third quarter, he's in prime physical shape, and other people are getting ground down and worn down by what his physical running style. That was probably most evident in that Oklahoma State game last year, where he was averaging less than 4 yards a carry until the fourth quarter, and I think he finished the game averaging 8, 9 yards a carry because he broke off those big runs and got key runs when they needed. Tonight was not that kind of night. Carey had a good game. Had a few good runs. Was actually probably more as efficient with big plays in the passing game, where he had the 24-yarder and a couple other longer ones. But he certainly wasn't bad. Conversely, his counterpart, Bishop Sankey, is getting a lot of love. Sankey had 161 yards, but needed 40 carries to do it. He only had a little over four yards per carry average. He did have the touchdown. He was good. Make no mistake, you don't rush for 161 yards if you're not good. But he didn't have breakaway runs. He had one 17-yard run. He had a couple other okay runs. Really, Collier and Price had as good a runs as Sankey did. And I'll admit, he was flirting with the 100-yard mark in the second quarter, and I didn't think he was anywhere near that. And a lot of that is, though, he was good. He was 3, 4, 5 on most carries, right around that average, and he was moving the chains. He didn't have to be a breakaway back tonight, but he was consistent. And I think both he and Carey were very similar. In fact, you can look at those yards per carry, and carry was only less than half a yard better per carry, and that's exactly it. They were keeping the team in front of the chains, but they weren't necessarily changing the game. And that is an interesting thing to see from these two backs. The good news is Carey over 100 yards once again. He's going to be averaging just under 150 yards per game heading into a week and a half from now against USC. But that was part of the problem. Arizona could not get those big plays. They had one big run, the 33-yarder by Danker that set up their first touchdown in the first half. But other than that, it was just short runs. And when you can't mix in bigger plays in the passing game, you know, they had the one long one to carry down the sideline. But other than that, the dink and dunk worked, a couple intermediate passes. But that long passing game, if that's not going to work, and it might not be something Arizona's good at all year, then they have to find a way to get Kadeem Carey the big play, the home run. Things he is kind of known for. And credit Washington. That was a very fast front seven. They were very good at keeping runners off the edge, and really, if you look at Danker's run, it was more misdirection and over-pursuit than it was a great push at the line. Now, there was a hole, don't get me wrong, but Arizona's offensive line was unable to establish themselves. They weren't able to physically move the front seven of Washington, and whether it's that was Washington's scheme or Arizona's deficiencies or a little of both, you'd have to break down the tape better. But it was not a stellar effort by the line, Arizona line. I think it was a stellar effort by Washington at times on defense. But again, they were able to stack the box. They were able to sell out for the run because their DBs were good enough to make plays downfield. Conversely, I thought Arizona's defense was, for the most part, very good. They gave up that early drive. Washington got a pick in Arizona territory. And frankly, I thought Arizona's defense was poor on that first drive, a bad penalty. And really, you hate to pick on kids, but I thought Jonathan McKnight and Jordan Grandin had awful games tonight. McKnight had a couple just bonehead plays. One of them was the initial touchdown, the short pass, where Keith Price rolls out. And as he's rolling out, there are three Arizona players, three or four, who kind of roll out with him. And one has responsibility for the receiver, but the two of the others need to react. And you had one guy chasing him who did the right thing. Well, McKnight, almost inexplicably, leaves his man, but doesn't sell out for the quarterback, and instead gets kind of caught in no man's land. I don't know if that was necessarily his guy in the zone, but it sure looked like he was the closest guy. But there was no reason when he was the closest guy to leave his man because Price was going to have three or four Wildcats in front of him. And then even worse, he's so far out of position, he just gave a little half-hearted shove. And that, to me, was almost worse. Grandin had a couple bad penalties. Both he and McKnight were the DBs who got burned and misread and went to shore up the run and allowed a Washington receiver for a deep pass that ended up going for 49 yards. Smith had the 49 hauling, and if he doesn't trip, he's probably still running. So there are some concerns, and we'll look more at the Arizona defense, a little bit more at the Washington defense, and talk about a few other things that were disappointments for Arizona tonight. Once again, it was Washington 31, Arizona 13. You're listening to the Wildcat Sports Report post-game podcast. We'll be back with segment 3 right after this.